Please be very still, Mr. Bond. You must have absolute silence so that you don't disturb the transformation into your former Scottish self. I must warn you that in every scientific experiment there is always a danger. So keep in mind the stop switch. God forbid you turn into a Welshman or a blonde Bond. Get out of here. Now we start the transformation. Very dangerous, very quiet, please.
My name's Bond. James Bond.
No, that's not it.
Yes, my name is Bond. James Bond.
Maybe next time. One more adjustment. Got it! Wake, Mr. Bond! Wake!
Who are you?
My name is Bond. James Bond.
He's back in a new Bond spectacular. And we're back to what great movies are all about.
Hey, what the hell is this? Hey, listen, you can't do this to me. I've got friends in this town.
Outrageous fun-making thrills.
I didn't know there was a pool down there.
He's back. The character who runs rings around his enemies in Diamonds Are Forever. 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 And they're back. Some rare facets of female bondage.
Well, that's quite a nice little nothing you're almost wearing. I approve.
I don't dress for the hired help.
Starring Jill St. John, Charles Gray, and he's back as Blofeld, 007 style.
Good evening, 007.
From the Diamond Territory of South Africa.
Curious how everyone who touches those diamonds seems to die.
The canals of Amsterdam. To the gaming halls of Las Vegas.
Hi, I'm Plenty.
But of course you are.
Plenty O'Toole.
Named after your father, perhaps.
To the rocket sites of Nevada. Sean Connery, alias James Bond 007, is back in action.
Diamonds are forever.
Welcome back, agents. You were paid an exorbitant amount to return to the podcast after that Lash guy took over my role. But we're back. We're back in Vegas, baby. And Daddy's back. That's right. Sean is back. We're talking Diamonds Are Forever, folks. I'm your host, Dave. The Bondcast has returned. I'm joined again by fellow agents, Jackie.
I didn't prepare a quote. There's too many good ones in this stupid movie.
You could just go, And I'm also joined, of course, by Agent Michael.
Blow up your pants!
Michael, weren't you a blonde when I came in?
If you like.
All right, so we're coming off on Her Majesty's Secret Service, a movie that I think all of us agreed was a high point in the series, a turning point in the series, a very serious film.
Emotionally dense.
Correctly, Nick had said, rose above the trappings of the franchise. It was very highly regarded. Now we're in 1971 with Diamonds Are Forever. Sean Connery's back.
It's the 70s, baby.
I want to go through step by step here with you guys, because if I'm not mistaken, you two have never seen this movie before.
Never.
Never.
Okay, so did you know anything about this movie other than the fact that Connery was back?
I knew there were diamonds.
Yeah, I knew Connery was back.
There would be diamonds going on. Yeah,
and I had
told
heard
there would be diamonds.
And they delivered.
I had heard the theme song sampled in that Kanye West song.
I think I have heard this Bond theme like in the wild before, and I really like this one. It's got fucking panache.
Shirley Bassey's back.
Also, okay, good opening, you know, title sequence featuring sexy diamond ladies and the cat.
The cat. Okay, so we're going to go through this step by step. As I mentioned at top, we're coming off on Her Majesty's Secret Service, a very esteemed film, highly esteemed film. Going into this one, not knowing anything about it, other than Connery's
body. So at the end of On Her Majesty's Secret Service 2 is basically like he gets married.
Cliffhanger.
And then his wife is murdered.
And then immediately murdered, and it's a somber, quiet...
So this is going to be like maybe like a somber revenge plot is
in
what...
In the 70s. What early 70s.
Yeah, gritty 70s. Maybe it's like a Taxi Driver inspired. Maybe they're going to delve deeper into the subconscious of James Bond and maybe the tortured soul that lies underneath.
Loud, incorrect buzzer sound.
All right, so as the movie begins, I want to go...
We're in America.
Your guys' thought process is... what? Okay, so is that what you expected going in?
It's not quite what I expected. I think the fact that Sean Connery returns makes me think... like, it kind of indicates, like, they're sweeping the rug.
Yeah, I also was expecting a, like, just kidding, we're not going to do that anymore.
Like,
that's skip, stupid
skip into
thing.
The end of it. The subtitle of this movie could have been, like, Diamonds Are Forever. Fuck that.
So I was kind of expecting a, like, return to, you know, more of the kind of silly...
Oh, you were expecting it. You called it.
Again,
if I had looked up who the director was, I would have been able to call out what we were expecting here, because I'm sure you'll mention this, Dave, but this is the same director as Goldfinger, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, is it? Okay.
I was going to say gold member.
The next two
we all want to say gold member every time.
Keep
it's okay.
To say gold member, yeah.
So, yeah, if you didn't expect a return to camp, then this opening sequence progressively gets campier as it goes.
Yeah.
It begins with a guy literally getting thrown through some doors and comically, like, it's one of the funniest, like, cuts I've ever seen in a movie where he slides through the door on the floor and his head comically like hits against like a board or something.
And then voiceover, you know, from you know, are that classic, wait a second, I recognize this voice, and he's asking like, where's Blofeld?
And it's just like, okay, this it's
he
like
keeps
right,
roughing up
be.
Other dudes, and
it's campy, but I guess this makes sense as the opening to the follow-up to Her Majesty's Secret Service. Clearly he's pissed, he wants revenge. It's like, okay,
he's definitely still thinking about his dead wife Tracy, who we all grew
definitely
to love,
still thinking about her.
Yeah, you can tell he's carrying the weight of Tracy on him. Yeah, this movie.
He definitely
as he's having sex with every single woman he encounters.
Oh, well, we will get into it.
Well, it
we always do.
Campier, and there's
when he roughs up like the guy at the casino. This is like, all right, this is we're already cartoonish. We're like,
yeah.
And the guy doesn't even need to be asked. He's like, oh, it's in this place.
I love it. He's like, hit me, Bond punches him.
Bam, chips
it,
and everywhere.
It does, though, like, yeah, you right away. You're like. Oh, I didn't even realize until after the fact, like, I guess this is the revenge for Tracy. Like, it just, to
this
me...
This is going to have to suffice as revenge.
I mean, it's not.
It reduces it to a montage, and
yeah.
And it more sets up, I think, in the context of this movie, that, like, hey, just FYI, Blofeld's a bad guy. Bond doesn't like Blofeld.
Yeah, Bond is looking for Blofeld, and we think that he's finally got him, but... Of course, we know that's not true.
It is funny, too, how Blofeld has looked different in, like, every movie.
And this is the first one where they're like, we've got a really stupid exclamation for it.
Plastic surgery.
Really, really goofy plastic surgery.
Mud-based plastic surgery.
You know how that goes.
Yeah, and this is all within the first, like, 5 minutes, right?
Every time a celebrity gets a facelift, they had to go into the mud. They had to be submerged in really gross, bubbly mud.
And if something goes wrong with the procedure, don't worry. They have a water gun.
Yeah, they will be armed during the procedure.
I don't know why, but I thought that was so silly that you would think it's just like it would just be like a hose or something, but it's literally shaped like a water gun that he shoots.
You're like, we're having fun with it.
Comes back around in the circus scene with the water gun too.
It's all connected.
Yes, that's not the end of the water guns and Diamonds Are Forever. Anyway,
it's all about diamonds and water guns, baby.
Bond may be looking for revenge for the death of his wife, or he just may be pissed about his rival.
I read it as like, because he starts, Her Majesty's Secret Service also as a just kind of general like, oh, yeah. Blofeld, I'm going to get you. And so it works always as just a clean slate, like, got to get Blofeld. Got to get that guy, Blofeld.
But anyway,
he has a cat.
After he uses his Q mousetrap to disable the guards, his Q mousetrap in his pocket when the guy reaches for his gun. it's just so silly.
It starts very silly.
He throws him into like boiling mud or something. Mm-hmm. He thinks he kills him. Welcome to hell, Blofeld. We go to the main title sequence, which again, it is nice to have Shirley Bassey back.
Oh, that voice.
I really like this song.
Yeah, it's a great theme. I love the...
You need something like big and bombastic for a good Bond. Yeah.
I love the cat with the diamond collar.
So cute. So
it's good,
stylish.
Like, it's kind of like Blofeld. It works thematically. Yeah. It's one of the better intro title sequences, I think.
I liked it.
Oh, all right. High esteem. Well, and then the movie proceeds, and I kept thinking watching this movie that this felt like an episode of the 60s Batman show.
Oh, wow. I mean, I wasn't thinking that specifically, but you're not wrong.
Yeah,
I mean, it's what it is it's just like we're back into Sean Connery Bond. Like, it's not just Sean Connery. Like, the tone is different, too.
It's way more campy, more campier than it's ever been.
Which we've talked about.
Is it? Do you think it's more campier than You Only Live Twice? Because I'm not.
Absolutely. Well, here's the thing. I think the difference is in that movie, campy as it was, I still feel like they played the danger kind of a little more seriously. In this one, everything is played for laughs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, we talked about last time how each Bond movie is like a response to the previous one. And this feels like not just a response of like, we're back with, you know, Daddy. We're back doing our classic goofy stuff. Don't worry about what we just did. But it is also like time and place, you know, early 70s film is skewing a lot more, you know, gritty and like realistic acting and all of that. And this is definitely like, because not to say that all of what was happening in the 70s was that, because I think this fits in with a lot of other, you know, really goofy, corny stuff that was happening at the time. So it's like,
well, the gritty stuff from the 70s was all coming from like independent movie makers. Yeah.
But that was getting like increasingly, you know, more respect and attention. And so, of course, the mainstream side of it is like, don't worry, we're still super mainstream.
It's such a shame because originally this movie was originally developed to be like a gritty revenge movie with Lazenby back in the role. But he declined because he's like, I don't want to come back for a big contract. And also, apparently, his agent told him I think he's since got on record saying his agent kind of led him the wrong path.
I have heard that.
Saying, like, James Bond, like, man, movies are going in the direction of like Easy Rider.
Exactly. This guy was watching Bonnie and Clyde being like, you don't want to get tied to this dinosaur.
Yeah,
it's never going to last.
Lazenby did not have the... I don't think he has Easy Rider in him or Taxi Driver in him.
No.
He is no De Niro.
He was trying very hard though. At the premiere, the producers, Albert R. Broccoli and Harry Saltzman, were like, you need to shave and cut your hair. You can't come to the premiere of Bond looking like a hippie.
Like a dirty hippie.
Disobeyed. And if you go back and look at premiere photos of On Her Majesty's Secret Service, he's full on got long hair and a beard.
Good for
and
him.
You gotta imagine the producers are like, this dirty hippie.
This filthy, like, 25-year-old.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at it right now.
He's like, why the fuck would I?
You know what he does? He looks like... Martin Scorsese, like circa the same time.
Dude, I'm into that.
That's right. That's spot
he doesn't on. At all look like a dirt. I mean, I could see why back in 1971, old people would have been like, look at this dirty hippie. But he just looks like a dude with a beard.
No, he's. Even for the time, it's like a lot of dudes were growing their hair out then. He doesn't look this, like this some look flower like, child.
This doesn't look like John Lennon walking across Abbey Road.
Dude, he looks good. He looks handsome.
I agree.
He looks way better in this look than I think the movie.
Well, because he looks comfortable. He looks like he's just being a person.
He doesn't have the Lego Man haircut.
Oh God.
But yeah, it's as we're watching this movie, like there are parts of me again coming off of Her Majesty's Secret Service, where I'm like, can you imagine how cool it would have been to see Gritty Bond taking on Blofeld again? And I would have loved to have seen Telly Savalas come back.
Gritty
Bond against Gritty Blofeld. That would have been so cool. But didn't happen. He did not come back. And before they cast Connery, they actually cast John Gavin, who, if you are unfamiliar with this guy, I know you've seen him before. John Gavin.
I read that he was like almost cast, but I have no idea.
He was cast.
Really?
He was cast in the role, and they had him. Yeah, he had a salary. And if you don't know who John Gavin is, he is an American actor. He was Janet Leigh's boyfriend in Psycho.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh my God. He was in like Spartacus.
An American almost was Bond.
And Midnight Lace, Imitation of Life. Like these are some heavy hitters.
He's a handsome looking dude, and I think he's fine in Psycho. But again,
would he probably
be British or at least over there?
Would he have done a British accent? Would it have been like a Dick
it's
Van
unknown.
Dyke?
It's unknown, but I think after the
hello,
box
what,
office,
what, M?
And due to the box office,
to that.
Box office, well, I didn't know what you said. Due to the box office decline, I think they were like, let's play it safe. Let's play Connery what he wants. Let's just pay him a king's ransom to bring him back. We got to get the audience back. So they paid Connery an unheard of amount of money for 1971. They paid him $1.2 million, which I think around adjusted for inflation would be like $7 million. An ungodly amount of money.
Sure. They're like, oh, this is the fucking movie star paycheck.
They're like, yeah, if we get Connery back, people will come back. And they did. To be fair, this movie made, adjusted for inflation, like over $600 million when you adjust for inflation.
Wow.
So
yeah, it did.
It was worth it.
It did better, like not adjusted for inflation. It basically had the same budget as Her Majesty's Secret Service. The budget for Her Majesty's $7 million, and just according to Wikipedia, and the budget for this one was 7.2. But you think of like Her Majesty's, I think you can tell they're spending up more of that movie on the movie and not so much Bond.
Definitely.
Like, I wouldn't say this feels cheap, but
no, it does.
I mean, that's the problem with sending it in Vegas, is every part of it's going to feel cheap.
well, we'll get into that part about it. But
yeah, that's a big talking point I have in my notes.
But without adjusting for inflation, so they basically cost the same, but Her Majesty's Secret Service made about $82 million. And
okay,
this one made $116 million. So it did, I wonder, though. Part of that, I bet a lot of that is Sean Connery, but I wonder if part of that too is just the tone. Like at the end of the day, this feels like more of a crowd pleasing movie
it's much,
Her Majesty.
Yeah, I think it's more uncomplicated, especially like the endings,
I'm
sure we'll talk about comparing those.
I can imagine word of mouth on Her Majesty's being a little bit like, it's
kind
like
of sad. It
kind
was
of
like
a bummer, like.
And then this one, he's like, and then they're at a casino, and then he's driving a moon buggy,
Vegas, baby.
And then he's in the water. So it's easy. Again, it's much, much more of a crowd pleaser. And when the women die, we don't have to care about it in this one.
It's a bummer. This movie's a little bit of a bummer to me in a lot of ways. Like I mentioned, like it's a bummer thinking of what the Lazenby revenge thriller could have been. It's also interesting to think what the movie could have been if John Gavin had stayed in the role. And we should point out, the producers paid him out his full salary because he was cast in the role.
Did you say like what happened? Like why it didn't end up being him?
Well, I think, again, the studio was like, you need to bring Connery back. Oh. And I think there was also probably trepidation about casting an American as James Bond.
I think that's a big thing, too, because like even, what was it, when Daniel Craig was cast and they were like, a blonde man?
Yeah.
Like, and you read shitting
their pants.
Like,
this
happens a lot with Bond casting. Apparently, one of their first choice was Burt Reynolds.
Oh.
No.
They're like, let's get some of that Connery sleaze, and then that's it.
I mean, I like Burt Reynolds.
Were just trying to they wanted a bankable star, I think, is what yeah. they wanted.
Well, and I can see them, too, you know, wanting to, even if it wasn't Connery, turning to, you know, a more established actor in general after, you know.
Adam West was a choice.
And
he actually, he turned it down.
Yeah, I got a gig, Adam. Don't worry.
No, Adam West turned it down, supposedly, because he's like, well, I'm an American.
That's a good call.
I love Adam West, especially that, God, this movie, can you imagine? If it would have been this movie with Adam West.
Well, I see. It's the wrong pussy.
The wrong pussy.
That kind of had more William Shatner inflection to it.
Yeah. Oh, William Shatner wouldn't have been
in the best. Oh, my. Well, he had that gusto. that barrel-chested.
Come on. Yeah,
1971.
He still had all his hair at this point.
He
had a better hairpiece.
Don't worry. We'll give you the Lego Man.
So, okay. Why don't...
Should we get into the plot?
Well, no, something I was expecting for this movie was to go in being like, ooh, Sean Connery is too old to be doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really get that. I thought he was like, he looks older,
good.
But I was like totally fine with how old he is in this movie.
I disagree. I think Sean Connery looks like he's been on the golf course too much, which he was on the movie.
Yeah.
He was on the golf course.
I mean,
course
he
every
was
day.
Obviously this man, it's the 60s, late 60s, early 70s. He was not wearing sunscreen. He was smoking 16 packs a day.
Yeah, he was 35 in the No, I wonder how old was he?
I would have believed
that. Late 30s, early 40s.
Okay, he does look good, but he does look older.
So he would have been...
He looks noticeably older, yeah. And it's only been 4 years since his last appearance.
He would have been like 40.
Live fast, die young, bad girls do it well.
Well, again, this is the era where, you know, if you were 30 years old, you looked maybe more like 50
yeah,
years old.
Yeah,
but yeah. He
would have
been
40. Especially as we go into the 70s, people are only going to look older.
It was hard living.
I mean, to think of him at 40, like, I'm thinking of like the John Wick movies. Like, Keanu Reeves is like in his 50s, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He? And he's
but
like
again,
doing the most insane action stuff.
That
in
man's
that movie.
Been wearing. That man has a skincare routine. You know he does.
Yeah, exactly.
Keanu treats him. Like, his body's a temple.
I gotta imagine if Sean Connery had a trainer, it was more like a caddy who gave him cigars and stuff. You know, and probably told him the best places to eat. You know,
yeah,
like the best restaurants. And
all then
that.
He'll do like 5 push-ups, and he's like, "Still got it."
he's like, yeah. To get ready for the movie, I'm switching from the colored whiskey to clear gin.
Only light beer.
Only light beer will I be chugging at lunch.
Yeah, Sean Connery on this movie.
I will have cigarettes with filters.
Oh, yeah. You know, like a woman.
I got to be clean. This movie, apparently, I mean, it was shot in Vegas, and Connery very much
did he have his
that
fun?
Vegas lifestyle.
Oh, that's so
movie.
Funny. I love, like, I'll do it if we can do it all in Vegas.
On location, I'm in.
Well, I mean, I guess in his contract, there was, like, he had to be able to play golf every day. They had to wrap at a
yep.
certain point so he could play golf.
I have the same thing in my contract here at the
yeah.
store.
Yeah. Well, and again, it's like, oh, you're going to pay me a king's ransom to come back? Then, yeah, I also got my demands.
I have you by the balls.
As
we're about to get into the stories of Connery and everyone on the set, like, it should be noted, Connery donated his entire large salary for this movie to a Scottish fund, I think, for like education.
Wow.
Really?
If I remember correctly.
Oh, good
he donated
for him.
The entire thing to like a Scottish film education thing.
That's
so.
Lovely.
That's cool. But nevertheless, he's like, I will still live the high life while we film.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah.
I will still make this a nightmare.
Like, there's a story, like, he interrupted filming because he was too busy cashing in his winnings
yes!
at a casino.
Oh, my God, what a baller
Hey,
move.
Sean, we need you on set.
Sorry, I'm too busy cashing in my jackpot.
Yeah, no, that's great, that's great. Your call time was 5, so, and it's...
Meet
you know,
me at my hotel for drinks, baby.
We gotta wrap up by 7 because you gotta go play golf later.
Yeah, so we're
tea time is soon,
really
honey.
Really just trying to get those daylight hours, so if we could get you on set, that'd be great.
But I don't One more story we should say during this before we get
into the movie. Let me also throw in there real quickly. Along with the age, I did expect him to be checked out, and I feel like he's more engaged than he was in You Only Live Twice.
Yeah. I mean, he's bringing the charm because he can't not.
He's probably relaxed from all his golf.
He's probably like a kid who is just like, you know, like, I can't wait to get out of this so I can play a video game. Whereas in his case, he's like, I can't wait to get out of this so I can play golf or gamble or have my on-set affair with both Jill St. John and Lana Wood.
Oh, God.
Both of them.
Oh, man. Yes.
You cad. Oh, and I'll say up top, I'm not going to get into it now, but the, the behind the scenes stuff with Lana Wood and Jill St. John, I'll talk about it later. It's fine. Let's get into the plot.
I was choking my James Bond ouch while I played golf and collected my winnings. The stuff on set just sounded decadent. You know what I mean?
How could it not be?
Anyway,
the king is back.
Let's get into the movie itself. We said, Connery, he may be having a lot of fun when the cameras aren't rolling, but I would say he's bringing a full performance to this movie. He's not calling it in.
No, I think he's like, he's...
He is checked in.
Yes, I think he's checked in. I think that charisma's back. He's back. Like, to any extent that it's not him in his prime, I think that's maybe a result of the... He's not in necessarily peak fighting condition, maybe. Yeah. I'll grant you that. I don't think he looks like...
He doesn't look decrepit.
No.
His hairpiece might be...
I know there's a movie later on that's maybe not canon or something where Bond does come back, or Sean Connery comes back as Bond in like maybe the 80s or something.
We'll get to that
one. Yeah, expecting that one to be maybe a little different.
Well,
but for right now, he looks like an older Bond. He definitely looks way older than 40. I am shocked that he was only 40 years old for this.
But I agree, because I was thinking about, Moonraker, where it's Moore in that one, right?
Yeah.
And he's looking old.
I think if I remember right, he was 50 or 51.
And especially next to the Bond girl, it was like, ooh, get away from her.
I don't know if it's the Sean Connery charisma or the age isn't quite as extreme, but there are instances here where he's interacting with, you know, young women, and I wasn't getting like the ick that I got with some of like Moonraker stuff, seeing Moore interact with a young woman.
Well, like you said, he is bringing that charisma, so that charisma counts for a lot.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I guess it's somewhat, it's believable that a woman would be attracted to him, I guess is what I mean.
Yeah.
Well, let's, before we get into the plot, still discussing Connery and giving him a hot or not rating, what did you guys think of the hairpiece? Because I would say this is his worst hairpiece in the series.
I'm going to throw my cards on the table here. It didn't stand out to me at all.
Really? Oh, wow.
I mean, I'm sure you could frame by frame it, and like, but as someone who's watching this movie for the first time, I was busy looking at lots of other stuff, I guess. I was busy following the plot. It didn't even occur to me to like check out his hairpiece.
I was much more in tune with the hairpieces of Tiffany. Her hair is pretty insane.
Her various hair changes.
Yeah, if there is someone's hair to look out for, it's Tiffany for sure.
Well, let's get to Tiffany. Let's begin with the plot of Diamonds Are Forever. Who wants to take up this mission?
Oh God. this is, I will say, maybe the most convoluted of all the movies.
I was heavily paying attention to the Chattopedia plot synopsis while watching the film, because it would be like, wait, who's that? Wait, and the diamonds? Oh, those are the fake. Okay, and this guy. So who's he working for?
I think the initial, like, when he's given his mission from M, I think at that point it's easy to understand, like from the offset. But it gets convoluted as he goes.
Like, I think a big problem for me with this movie, like my biggest issue, is I feel like it starts out with a really cool premise of basically like, hey, Bond, infiltrate the diamond smuggling world.
Sure.
That, and all that stuff is really cool and straightforward. But then once we get from there to like It's honestly the Blofeld. So like the Blofeld, like, oh, we're using the diamonds for space lasers.
And also I have body doubles.
That's where it falls off the rails for me, which I think this movie, you know, kind of get into it. For me, this is a really good first half and kind of a rickety duct tape together second half for me.
Well, yeah, the problems for me come in, like, the convoluted stuff comes in where it's just, like, I think when they get to the funeral home, that's where I start scratching my head, like, huh? It's,
once we get to America, we say hi to Felix, hi, Felix, and then...
Jackie, why don't you do the plot?
Okay, well, so we start with a pretty straightforward, you know, infiltrate the, this international diamond smuggling.
Do we know why they're, like... wanting to do that all of a sudden?
Well, because he says, the guy they're talking to says, like, we accept some bit of smuggling, but over the last 2 years, like, there's been a lot more, to the point where it's like, but he says the problem is, like, they haven't shown up on the market, so we don't know if someone's stockpiling diamonds, or if they're gonna, like, blackmail us or something like that.
But also, we can't undermine, you know, Britain's control of apartheid South Africa's diamond mine, so fighting the good fight. Flight Bond. Anyway, so the
Britain is owed these diamonds.
South Africa.
We are owed these diamonds.
So Bond is you know sent in to
Holland.
To Holland.
Bond, we need you to put down an apartheid riot.
Yeah, we need you to enforce.
Preserve apartheid in South Africa, Bond.
It's in Her Majesty's name. But so he goes to Holland. Take down, so he can impersonate a smuggler, Peter Franks, and then he gets caught up with the contact for the diamonds, Tiffany Case, who wears several wigs, and...
all this stuff rules, by the way. I really like all this.
Well, and that's what's disappointing about the second half, is because when we meet Tiffany, she's doing all this stuff of, like, you know, scanning his fingerprint, and, like...
Yeah, that stuff's fun.
And then by the end, it's like, shoot him, you idiot, this stupid bitch! And it's like, well, you're the one fucking writing her, so... Anyway, yeah. Then the real Franks wakes up, Bond kills him, and then plants his official Playboy member card. And so Tiffany's like, oh my god, you just killed James Bond, which is great. Yeah, of course he has that. Of course he does.
So now we're gonna smuggle the diamonds inside this guy's dead body.
Yeah, inside this corpse to L.A. and then we're gonna go to Vegas to you know make the pass him over or do whatever. I want to add now. This our my favorite pair of freaks has shown up, Mr. Wint and Mr. Kidd. Movies are bad now because they don't cast people like this anymore.
So yeah,
couple of fucking weirdos.
You're talking about hair, Dave.
Oh,
is this which one is it? Is it Walter or Kidd?
Mr. Wint and Mr. Kidd. Fuck.
Well, one of them.
Mr. Kidd has the crazy.
Yeah, Mr. Kidd has the craziest hair.
It's Franklin with like bald bangs.
Yeah, Ben Franklin, bald on the top, except for like a thin strip of bangs.
Of like forehead patch, which just is like grown out.
An island of hair in the forehead.
And like a big, thick mustache.
The most unhinged hairstyle I have ever seen.
So these guys are going around being nefarious. We don't know like who they're working for at first. Eventually they work for Blofeld, right?
It seems like they're cutting off ties. We see them the British guy is explaining the whole smuggling operation, what's happening.
Yeah, they're killing people.
I like the way that scene is cut, that montage. Yeah. They're explaining the Bond and it cuts to them as the smuggling is happening and they're cutting up all the loose ends basically as the diamonds are kind of progressively going through their journey.
And they keep on talking to each other in like really creepy ways. They're like, how about that, Mr. Wint? Oh yeah, Mr. Kidd. And it's like,
are you guys aware who played Mr. Wint? You know who that
no,
is?
No, tell me.
I think there's a reason you like this guy.
Wait.
He is the father of Crispin Glover.
What?
Of course. Only a weirdo could raise a weirdo.
That's why he asked for the corkscrew in the movie.
He asked for the corkscrew. We all remember
that part. I didn't even think about that.
Ted! Hey, Ted, where the hell's Corkscrew?
I can, now that you say that, I'm like, oh, yeah, like, the faces, too, are just...
They're like, yeah. Yeah, it's like when you hear it, you're like, oh, that makes total sense. They look exactly the same.
Oh, almost. My God. Anyway, I loved these two. They're always showing up and wrecking shit and being creepy and sweaty and, like, spraying too much cologne on Mr. Winch sprays all that cologne on his hands, which is eventually his undoing.
I would love to know what that cologne's name is. I bet it's something weird.
It's something, and it's like, oh, this smells like a bathroom or something. Like, I feel like it's going to smell like an air freshener more than like a cologne, you know?
I smelled your old spice from across the room.
But yeah, so we get to America. Our old friend CIA Felix leader comes
played
in
by a different guy,
different guy, as always. Finally, he's the same age as Bond again, and so yeah, then we get to this whole thing where they're transporting the corpse that they hid the diamonds in to a funeral home.
I stuck the diamonds up the guy's butt.
Well, I had to look up because when Felix is like, where'd you hide them on the body? And Bond says, alimentary, Dr. Later, which is, you know, a little Holmesy reference there. And I was like, does that mean butthole? And I think it, I looked it up and it said closer to like mouth, I think.
It was like I had to look it up too, and apparently it was this digestive tract.
Oh, okay.
For the longest time, I just assumed, yes, Tiffany and I spent a good deal
we
of time
shoving diamonds up this man's
spending
ass.
Spending diamonds up his ass.
You didn't even put him in a bag, Bond. Come on.
One at a time.
We had to open up a corpse's butthole.
This reminds me of like all the way
across the room, and we would make free throw shots.
It was so fun.
This reminds me of like all the way back from Dr. No when like Bond shows up back at like the office with like the dead body in the back of his car.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like one of those moments where everyone's just like, Jesus, Bond.
God, is that necessary?
There should have been a moment where like do they shake? Please don't tell me he shook hands with Felix after.
He probably did because he's an asshole. You know he did. Yes.
I stink palmed you, Felix.
Felix's like, oh, come on. But yeah, then they get to the funeral home. It's all very silly, punny names of like, there's Slumber Mr. Inc. Slumber and Shady Tree. And so yeah, then Mr. Wint and Mr. Kid are like, they try to fucking cremate Bond, which is a scary little sequence. They get him in the coffin, in
cool.
the cremator.
Until it wasn't. It doesn't really end very, like, it doesn't.
They just kind of pull him out, and he's, and it's like,
even see him get pulled out.
This is where the movie gets really weird and confused.
Because then,
I blame the editing for this sequence being awkward.
But then, yeah, he's like pulled out because the diamonds that he dropped to these guys were fakes because Felix has the real ones.
And here's where the screws start coming loose, I think.
Yeah,
yes.
And so, honestly, like, I don't even remember how this scene ends and we get to the casino again.
It's like, okay, so to pause the synopsis to try to figure out what the hell's happening here. Like, so evidently he gave them fake diamonds.
Yeah. Which they immediately figured out, so they didn't, so they stopped trying to kill him.
They give him this thing of money, a bunch of money, and then Mr. Kid and Mr. Wint knock him over the head, put him in the coffin. But then I guess they realize that the diamonds are fake and pull him out. So did Mr. Slumber and Shady Tree, like, I guess were they in on the whole trying to kill Peter Franks thing?
Yeah, because it's like, maybe I guess Wint and Kid are like, oh, we're part of the blah blah blah. We'll help you kill this guy, and they're like, okay, wait,
well,
don't kill him because the diamonds are fake.
Yeah, that was confusing to me because like it seemed like up to that point, like Mr. Kid and Mr. Wint were operating independently a little bit, like unbeknownst to a lot of other people in the operation.
I guess, and this because it all goes back to Willard White, who we find out is actually Blofeld's posing as him. So it's like. Yeah. I guess in that way it's all connected because the funeral home folks and those thugs were like working for the big casino guy and the you know, Winton Kid are working for Blofeld, and it's like, oh, spoiler, you know, plot twist, it's the same
guy.
Well,
it's just weird because
it is confusing.
Shady Tree does not know Mr. Wint, Mr. Kid, because later on in the movie, a few scenes later, they
come in and
he's like, who are you guys?
So what the fuck?
So, which goes me back to the funeral home, where it's like, So they didn't know Mr. Clearly, he didn't know Mr. Wayne and Mr. Kidd, so they didn't bother to ask, like, oh, Peter Franks, you gave us fake diamonds, and now you ended up inside the casket.
So what's up?
What's that all about?
You thought you could kill yourself, huh?
Yeah, because he says, like, Connery says, like, you wouldn't burn up 50,000 real dollars. So I'm assuming Connery is under the impression that Shady Tree and Mr. Slumber put him in. The thing. It's all confusing.
Yeah, it's not good. But anyway, then we end up, I think.
Well, he just tells him, like, my condolences. He's like, oh, yeah, he just says, like, Tropicana,
fuck you, I'm going to go to a casino now. And they're like, okay.
You would think those Shady Tree and Slumber would pull a gun on him. Like, no, you're not going anywhere,
yeah, like,
buddy.
They're going to hold him and, like, torture him to get to, I don't know. Yes. Anyway, he just walks away and they let him. Then we go to the White House. Is that where we start? No, we're first at, anyway. The White House.
He says the Hotel Tropicana is quite comfortable.
Oh, okay, yeah. We hop around to a couple different hotels. We're on the strip.
A bit, yeah. I'm gonna go check out the show at the White House. That Shady Tree is supposed to be really fun.
The ancient stand-up comedian, which is a kind of good dig on Vegas, because even by like 71, like, it's getting dinky and like it's only recently like been, you know, slightly distanced from mob ties, like Vegas as a town, but like the Rat Pack stuff is already, you know, kind of too old school and you know, looking real creaky. And then Shady Tree has like a line right before Wint and Kid kill him where he's like, I haven't updated my act in 40 years.
He's like, mob pays me no matter what.
He's being like walked out there by like,
well, like two showgirls.
Yeah, they're like, it's like Weekend at Bernie's almost.
His man is a corpse. But yes, we get to Bond is at the craps table where he meets Plenty O'Toole, aka Lana Wood.
Take off after your father.
Named after your father.
Who apparently, I didn't realize this, she was dubbed.
Oh, wow. They just love dubbing women's voices in this movie.
I was shocked reading that in the trivia. I was like, I didn't know that.
But, and I, correct me if I'm wrong, because the Chattopedia phrases this weirdly, but Bond meets the opportunistic Plenty O'Toole, and it's like, is she not, like, a sex worker? Or at least, like, you know, a party girl? Like,
it seems like she's just kind of like, I'm gonna like saddle up to like the high rollers.
She's a hot girl saddling up to high rollers, because that's what you fucking do in Vegas. That's like how it operates. There's people with money and there's beautiful women.
Is this like the first woman that Bond hasn't intentionally gone in wanting to swoon, or, you know, like with the intention of like, oh, hey, like, she just sort of appears.
She just appears because just like, he's betting a lot and she is wearing a very low cut dress and is like, yeah, okay. And,
well, and this is, again, it gets into sort of confusing plot where it's like, I guess Bond is just sort of...
it seems like he's just fucking around.
His first order of business, it seems, is to see Shady Tree again, which makes no sense because he just saw him at the funeral home and left. So it got me wondering, like, is his intention just to spread around a ton of money at this casino and get the attention of higher ups in order to find out more information?
Yeah, I guess. I guess. Anyway.
They make a point. He spreads it. I had to look this up because this is 1971, uh-huh. And he goes in like, can we raise the stakes to 20,000? I'll make it 30,000 or whatever he says. And everyone looks at him like, what?
Yeah, we're America, one of the, it's like a couple of the casino guys. One of them's like, oh, you know, is his credit good? And then the higher up is, I think he sees that it's like, he's working for, or supposedly working for Slumber.
He sees like the envelope and he's like, oh, this guy must be in on the diamond.
So yeah, give him the money.
Yeah, he sees the, it's like Peter Frank, I think, right? Like the...
Yeah, Peter Frank's. And this is, I had to look it up. He's like, he has $50,000. And $50,000in 1971 would be the equivalent now to $385,000.
So yeah, he's a high roller. Of course, Plenty O'Toole wants to fuck
giving
him.
At the end, when Plenty helps, quote unquote, helps him with the craps, he gives her $5,000, which would be the equivalent of $38,000.
Oh, yeah. So it's like, of course I'm going to hang on your arm and fuck
that's
you.
That's probably like a year of like a middle class salary back then.
Even if you were, you know, at a casino today, being like a hot lady looking for you know, a high roller to glom onto, getting a $5,000 tip is still pretty nice.
That'd be in
today's money, you'd still be like, well, hello.
$5,000 is still $5,000.
But yeah, of course, she's going back to his hotel room and immediately takes her dress off and then is thrown multiple stories into a pool.
That was actually her, by the way.
Which is also very dangerous. You could still break your neck that way.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I'm like, Dave, I'm waiting for you to be like, and she did.
Well, okay. So now is where I'm going to fucking dip my toes into the rabbit hole I was talking about. So Lana Wood, younger sister of Natalie Wood, who famously died by drowning. And
no one knows how.
And under mysterious circumstances. Well, because... when later in the movie, Plenty O'Toole is killed, we find her dead in a pool.
This was
filmed at Kirk Douglas's house, who is the person who Lana Wood alleged sexually assaulted Natalie Wood when she was 16. Kirk Douglas did. Anyway, but also not just that, because Jill St. John, who plays Tiffany, was at some point in time married to Robert Wagner, who was married to Natalie Wood when she died.
And who has often said, like I think Lana Wood has said, like, people have asked her, like, who do you think Robert Wagner killed Natalie Wood? She's like, yes, I do.
Yeah, she has been on record to say that. So she and Jill were not getting along. Well, Natalie Wood wasn't dead at this point, but she and Natalie...
A few months later, I think.
Yeah, she and Jill were not friends on the set of Diamonds Are Forever. Probably, you know, not... Probably in part because they're both, you know, getting fucked over by Sean. But,
well, you're sleeping with Sean too? Yeah, so am I.
But there's just this...
God damn it, Sean.
This very, like... this is my fucking conspiracy theory spot of, like, there's a lot of drowning and et cetera in this movie. And then the celebrity behind the scenes stuff. I'm like, what the fuck? Like...
Well, then you just throw Vegas into the mix, which just, like, makes everything seem more seedy.
But anyway, so that's the rabbit hole that I fell down.
You know, that when we see Plenty of Tool dead in the water, that might be, like, the harshest thing we've seen in a Bond movie so far.
Oh, yeah. And she was doing that was a real stunt, like her in the pool, like being tied down. And
well, and apparently it kept fucking up because the pool was like, you know, it was kind of slanted.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was weighted down. So it kept sliding down and going into deeper water, and they had to keep pulling her out. And also for that jump that she did, they had to do it multiple times. They kept telling her, it's like, don't worry about it. It's at the night. No one's going to see. It's Vegas. Everyone is awake.
Yeah.
And she's topless. Yeah, and she's topless. So that meant that every time they did it, everyone looking was just in those hotel rooms looking as she fell down topless. But I have a question for you guys.
Yes.
So as a kid watching this movie for the longest time,
I also think that Wagner killed Natalie Wood, by the way.
Well, yeah.
What did he know? And hey, Christopher Walken, what did you know and when did you know it? You were on the boat too.
Don't pay attention to me. I'm just doing a silly dance over here.
Hey, I'm just good.
Great Christopher Walken's guys.
Yeah, it didn't sound like a bad Travolta at all. I know.
But as a kid, I remember watching this movie a lot and not realizing that was Plenty O'Toole in the pool. Like, as a kid, I was always just like, who's this random person?
Well, because to jump forward a little bit, it's like Bond confronts... Tiffany back at this house after there's been like a double cross and then she's like, why is my brown wig in the pool? And it's like, that's a dead woman. And Bond says, like, she came here looking for you and they thought that you were her, which also, like, why would Plenty O'Toole be looking for Tiffany?
That's the thing. And apparently there was a cut scene.
Okay.
I did hear about this, that there was like a cut thing that kind of explained what was going on.
I don't know why they cut this because it was only like 10 seconds long. But apparently there was
get the women out of here.
There's a cutscene where Plenty goes back up to the hotel room, like, wearing a towel, because she's just like, what the hell happened?
Hey, yeah, my dress is still up here. I got thrown several stories out of a...
She sees that Bond is now banging another woman.
Oh, yeah, which she does start doing immediately after.
Yeah, immediately.
Plenty's thrown out a window.
I think she looks inside the wallet or purse of Tiffany Case, finds out where she lives, and then she leaves. So it's like, okay, why did they not leave that in the movie? It would have made
gotten in the way of how cool and sexy and masculine James Bond is. So we had to pay attention to a woman.
It was seriously like this cutscene exists. You can watch it. It is not long. It is seriously like 10 seconds.
That's so dumb. Yes, Bond sleeps with Tiffany and then is like, I need your help with like this other part of the diamond smuggling tomorrow. We're going to the circus casino, which is so, it's so tacky. Well, like
circus. Maybe this is just something for me to jump in real quick. I love
I love elephants.
I love elephants.
There's just a real ass fucking elephant. He starts playing the slots.
I do like the visual tourism we get here, which is something that we always talk about in Bond movies. I like the Vegas stuff here. And I think part of, for me, the thing that's so cool that I'm like always, I was looking in the background like a lot in this movie. I think it's the idea of seeing like all these signs and like all these like lights and stuff in an era before screens.
Yeah.
Like the way that like the strip is just completely lit up, bright lights, you know, like wall to wall or like sky to ceiling, you know, signs and everything going on, but none of it is in screens, which is really weird. And like
it's all neon and
it gives it just such a different vibe that
it's definitely an interesting time capsule movie in that regard.
Loved all, well, also during the circus stuff, like because it's such a crowd scene and we get to see like not just like, you know, people on vacation and like in kind of like their and kids and stuff. And they're all just kind of like all the fashion.
Seeing like walls of slot machines and like none of them, no screens. And something about that to me, I was like, this is weird.
I'm surprised we didn't see more just like chain smoking, but I guess that was.
There was a haze of smoke.
They were like, that's part of the appeal.
To a brief aside, I wanted to bring up like, there's a low rent feel to this movie, and part of it could be due to the fact that they had to pay Connery so much. Apparently, the special effects budget had to be scaled back due to so much of the budget.
You
being
say low
to
rent
Connery
though, but
salary.
I still think we're above like some of the first few Bond movies. Like as far as
I mean, low rent in the sense like I would say that the color scheme of this movie is ugly. Like it is dominated by browns and tans.
Well, it's
and
the
grays.
70s,
we're
baby.
We're in the 70s, baby.
But you
Earth
mentioned what triggered this for me was you mentioned like there's like you could sense the smoke haze. It feels like a smoke haze is like baked into the film.
Oh
of
yeah,
this
all
movie.
Copies of this movie are damaged by smoke.
Yeah,
that's I think you know we're joking like this. The 70s, but like you know the glamour of 60s Bond is no longer the thing, and visually, you know, it's only going to get more brown and orange. And
I just think visually, I think this movie's a little ugly.
I do. I think that it's good when it's showing off Vegas. But
well, yeah, that exception. Yeah,
like, but, like when I think of the color scheme of this movie, I do think a lot of like black. I don't like night, and bright lights.
Yeah. I just think of the circus. But so
circus looks rad in this. I want to be gambling while like someone is like doing trapeze above me.
The trapeze stuff is cool.
That would be and elephants are just walking around pulling on slot machines.
I could do without the racist freak show.
Oh,
that was so bizarre. What was that even?
That's
advertising circus. I feel like is what it trying to do.
You know, it's part of the kind of you know like.
There's stuff for the kids.
The midway feel of like, oh, you know, while your parents are gambling, go and see this African woman turn into a gorilla.
Yeah,
that's not good. But so, yeah, Tiffany.
And then the gorilla escapes, right?
You know, well, it was a person in a mask.
Oh, it wasn't a real gorilla?
No, it wasn't a real gorilla. Oh.
Well, you didn't miss the, no, when Tiffany Case is trying to evade the agent, she, like, the guy in the suit, literally, you see him next to her, like, hey, lady, you can't go through
hey,
there.
Hey, come on. Hey, that's Steph only.
The guy in the gorilla suit going, come on.
Well, I thought that could have been a different situation but where a guy's in a gorilla suit.
So, Tiffany is doing the whole, like, picking up the diamonds, which are, like, hidden in a stuffed animal, and yeah. Bond and Felix.
It costs 24 minutes. Hey, she didn't win. Hey.
Oh, look at that. And we have another winner. Annie Oakley on the end, huh? Here we are. What an eye. What an eye.
Wait a second. Hold it. I saw the whole thing. The machine's fixed. Who's she, your mother? Blow up your pants.
So the little kid gets very upset that this adult lady won the stuffed animal. But yeah, so
the rigged squirt. This is the water gun where they bring the water gun back.
But
I love that little kid with his glasses.
He's like, the fuck? Yeah.
The machine's fixed.
Bond and Felix are watching, and Bond and Tiffany were beforehand were like, so after the pickup, like, we'll go to the airport and we'll split it 50-50. And Felix is like, she's definitely gonna double cross you, and he's just like, all right, well then catch her, I'm just gonna go to the airport just in case. And she gets away. She's wily like that before they decide to start writing her as stupid. So
the special agents are so enamored with the magical mysticism of Zambora turning into a gorilla.
Yeah, and with various trapeze ladies floating by. Yes, that's right. Like, come on, Felix, you've never seen an ass cheek before.
Oh, we do get some conversation on that front.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, so that at that point we see Plenty of Tools dead in the pool. Sorry to rhyme.
wow.
And this is the part where again I was like, I like where this scene ends, where we get to like the research laboratory, and then Bond is driving around in a dune in a moon buggy and shit.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
But this whole fucking like lead up to it, I was like, I don't know what's going on. Like, this is boring. This is like,
where it's like fully off the tracks.
It goes off the tracks.
And
but
this scene, we get the like, hey, by the way, the moon landing was fake, and it was done by Blofeld.
By Blofeld did the moon landing.
What are we doing?
What's
here?
Going on? That scene, though, because I like that it ends with Bond stealing a moon buggy.
The best part of this scene is that he goes on set to like the faked moon landing launch, and he's stealing the moon buggy. But the actors,
the two astronaut
they're
actors,
staying
are still
in character of like low gravity movement.
It's so
that
fucking
no
good.
Sense. Again, it gets back to
they
Batman
can't break kayfabe.
Their method.
It's so bizarre because the guy in the booth is like, get him, Jerry. And the guy like slowly. But
like, come on.
The guy's like, get him, Jerry, but stay in character.
Do not break. We're still rolling.
We're still rolling, Jerry.
This is being broadcast live.
Walter Cronkite is about to comment on this.
So, yeah, moon landing fake. Wasn't Kubrick, like many have believed. It was Blofeld.
It was Blofeld all
the
along.
Whole time. Yeah. Bond drives off in the moon buggy, which is perfectly suited for the rocky desert environment of outside of Las Vegas.
We get basically the most yakety sax.
It's so yakety sax with his head in the little like clear pod, and the like cars coming after him are just like eating shit.
The lamest. These are some pretty lame car like swerving off the road. Like it looks like
immediately
it's like
losing
going,
three
like,
tires.
Miles an hour, just
well,
kind of like.
What makes it so
ugh.
Funny is that James Bond isn't doing anything to evade them. He just keeps driving.
He's
and these
driving
guys are,
like a straight line.
Yeah.
Crashing on their
they're,
own.
Yeah, they're just like, whoa.
Because the vehicles weren't designed for the moon. So, he steals.
Weird. It's a weird sequence.
Does he steal something in this at that point,
well,
or he just
guy,
got
you
information?
Get the B crew come in with dude buggies, so you think, okay, these guys are better equipped to deal with the sands and the rocks and all that. Not at all.
Well, and then Bond does the classic, like, punch a guy in the head and steal his dune buggy.
Well,
immediately knocked out.
It's classic because, yeah, so Bond gets out of the thing. He leaves the moon buggy on, and he leads the guys on that chase to chase the moon buggy. Meanwhile, he waits for one of the dune buggy guys to get back on his bike. But it's funny because the timing is off. They messed yeah. up the timing.
The guy's like guy revving and then just sits.
He just sits for a moment. He's like, okay, Connery, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you.
And he's running. He's trying.
I can't believe they left that in the movie.
Like, couldn't do one more take of this? A little better timing there.
I tell you, I have a hard out. I have to go to the golf course.
You know I'm there waiting on the links.
I've bet $5,000 on this game.
And then I'm going to go fuck Lana Wood.
Or they were just waiting. Like, there was a slot machine off screen that Connery pulled. He was waiting.
The machine is hot.
It's got my payout.
Next pull is the money. I know it.
I had to get my voucher.
I'm waiting on a free drink.
Yeah, you can't see it, but like if the camera panned left, you would find out that like they're just actually in a parking lot or something. Yeah. Like the casino is like.
Well, that is something that I also found.
Or shrimp buffet.
He is going to a shrimp buffet later. No, but that we're still in a point in time where so much of Vegas is like mostly undeveloped because it hasn't been around for
like
that long.
The strip that I was talking about earlier, where it's like, oh, the bright lights, beautiful. The kind of flip side of that is they do try to get like a lot of mileage of making it like it's a chase through a city when like this is like five blocks.
Yeah, it's not that big. There's not a lot going on just yet.
It's just
one block in front of the soon to be completed Plaza Hotel.
This is only one block at the time. The strip was.
Well, we didn't have a lot to work with, okay?
It was one block. Yeah, because you see, like, it's the same hotels behind them. They just go up and down this one street because that's really all there was.
Well, so this is after Bond escapes from the facility. He and Tiffany drive off, but in a really cool car. But they've been spotted, and so the sheriffs come after them. We get another kind of yakety sax, like
This one's a little bit. Is this where he's in the red car?
In the red car, that's and then a little bit more respectable to go through the dead.
That's
now, this
stunt.
Is cool. This is like actual car stunts and stuff.
That car stunt though is insane.
It's
because,
fucking insane.
Well, because why does it flip and then it comes out the other end? Like when it comes.
Yeah, he's on like a different.
Yeah,
that was a mistake. So
they just fucked it up.
They fucked it up. They filmed the first part in Vegas when he goes one side, and then the second part was filmed like in London or something. But they screwed up. They had him on the opposite.
If you haven't
side.
Seen the movie, what we're talking about is like during this chase sequence, somehow it's like very Fast and Furious, where like somehow to get into a tight alleyway, they're able to flip the car onto its side.
He tells Tiffany to like lean on the passenger side so they can tilt.
Yeah, so the car is only on its right two wheels. And
it
like,
gets through this thin
but then
alleyway.
When it exits the alleyway, it's on its left two wheels. So like somehow in the alleyway, it like went back down
it,
and then
it made
back
like a zigzag shape.
Well, you guys didn't see the insert shot they did to quote unquote fix this?
I mean,
they do a tilt. Somehow.
But how was there room?
How?
The alleyway didn't have enough room, Dave.
Well,
this
it,
doesn't
it,
make
yeah,
any
it makes
sense.
No sense. But they attempt to explain this away by having an insert shot of them on one side, and then the camera tilts, and suddenly they're supposed to be on the other side.
I think, honestly, I think this is what, it feels like you mean, Dave, when it feels low rent, of just all
yes.
these weird little continuity errors.
It.
It's just like they either didn't have the money or like maybe didn't fucking care because they were like, we've got Sean, like we've got the charm, we've got, you know, some location stuff. So what the fuck else do you want? A movie to make sense?
Just, it's like they really couldn't just go. It's like how much money would it have cost to go back and have like a B crew go and film it the right way, like the last part of it. You know what I mean?
Who knows?
It just makes no sense to me.
I do like, Bond is doing the tilt, the cop car chasing after him, it also attempts to do the tilt and then immediately just like flips over and crashes and shatters. It's great. So at that point, we've evaded the police. We're hiding in the bridal suite in the White House Hotel.
With an aquarium bed.
With an aquarium, like a hard plastic.
Oh, this
plastic
bed is like gnarly.
Aquarium bed covered in furs.
This is the most 70s thing I've ever seen.
It's, yeah.
It's insane.
It's
like,
fucking nuts.
It's one of those things like you have and it's like, damn, this is so cool. And then like,
you'd sit it and be like, this is not comfortable
yeah,
in
then,
any
then
way.
Then it's like the reality sets in of like what this is and like the upkeep and the maintenance. Of, like, there's
it's what I imagine owning a waterbed must be like.
But yeah. A waterbed is soft. This didn't look soft
yeah,
at all.
True. Yeah, this was like a plastic,
this was
hard plastic.
Like Lucite. It was. So, yeah, at this point, again, I'm kind of like half paying attention because, like, they try to get a meeting with what is it, William White, who owns the hotel and is like a reclusive billionaire.
The Howard Hughes type.
And
who I guess was friends with
Jimmy Dean, who plays
well, Howard Hughes was friends with Ian Fleming.
Albert Broccoli.
Oh, Albert Broccoli.
Well, initially this movie was going to be, the initial concept for this movie was it was going to be Goldfinger's brother wants revenge.
Sure. Remember that guy? Like
but
gold.
It ended up being changed because I guess Albert R. Broccoli, who we just mentioned is friends with Howard Hughes, had a dream where he went to see Howard Hughes in Vegas in one of his hotels, and he went into the room and it was an imposter. And that kind of ended up being the genesis of this plot.
Okay,
this
whole, yeah.
You know,
because
I'm actually playing, you know, Blofeld is impersonating basically like this reclusive millionaire.
Yeah, who like hasn't been seen in public for years anyway. So, we can come in. But
I guess it was actually Howard Hughes who let them film. He shut down that street and allowed them to film in a lot of these casinos, I guess.
Well,
I didn't know Howard Hughes owned casinos.
It pays to be friends with a reclusive millionaire. So at this point, yeah, so they're Felix via the CIA is trying to like get a meeting with White, but it's like, oh, we can't. He refuses. And Bond, you know, saying you two are in trouble because Tiffany is a diamond smuggler and she's going to fucking go to jail. And Bond is like, oh, well. And so then he quote unquote scales the hotel by hopping on the outside, or like the roof of an elevator that only goes to like. Which is set up earlier, and it's pretty cool how he does it. But then he's going around the building and drops into like the exact spot where Blofeld wanted him to, and then he's in his clutches, whatever, somehow. And that's when we get the reveal of there is no, you know, William White in this building. It's just Blofeld. But wait, it's two Blofelds. What?
And two pushies.
But only one of the cats gets the diamond collar.
The real one.
Yeah, I guess that's the real cat. The other one's the imposter. And so what was...
Yeah, what we don't see is that the other cat also went through plastic bud surgery.
That was a tabby before the surgery.
That was a very difficult process. The cat did not like it.
And so what's the idea here that, like, Blofeld... hires people to get like elaborate plastic surgery to look like him and act and sound like him so if one of them gets killed, like he's fine.
It's good to have a double, like he's Saddam Hussein.
Jackie, you don't have a body double?
But is this like
it's sensible?
What, an actor? Like a fucking, like what is the idea? Because
like,
he has,
or are you wondering like where he's recruiting the Blofeld?
Well, he has that line when after the reveal, when it's like, oh, you thought you killed me in the beginning of the movie? That was just one of my doubles, and it's been hard to recruit a good double after that because you've been, you know, you freaked people out. So it's like, yeah, where's his fucking like Craigslist listing for full-time, full-life body doubles?
I guess I just never... It is something to question. Like, I think I just sort of like accepted it at this point.
But their dialogue too. They're like in the, you know, they're going back and forth between the two of like, that's right, Bond, and you thought this, and you thought that. It's like, so what's going on? What's the method acting like here?
Good evening, Mr. Bond.
Blofeld.
Good evening, 007. Double jeopardy, Mr. Bond. You killed my only other double, I'm afraid. After his death, volunteers were, understandably, rather scarce.
It gets into the whole bit. Maybe we brought this up on the show before, but it's like... the recruiting process just in general for Blofeld's organization, or really any of these evil organizations, it's just like...
It's like,
they're all so
is the salary and benefits that good? Yeah. That it's like, you might be killed by James Bond...
You know, maybe if they have, maybe all of Blofeld's employees have unlimited credit with the casino.
and then they're like, oh, that's fine. That's worth it for me. That's fine.
And they get a minimum amount of time on the golf course as well.
Yeah, they have the same contract as Sean.
You can bring your pet cat to work.
Fluffy white cats preferred, but don't worry, we can change that if need be. You're the cats.
There's another element to this scene that the movie introduces. The voice box.
Yeah, where it's Blofeld is using the super high-tech voice box to sound like the, you know, southern William White. And Bond is like, oh my god, what is this?
It just comes out of nowhere. It's like, oh, by the way, I can sound like another person from this cassette tape.
It's fine. Don't worry about it.
we were able to get this guy's voice patterns on a cassette tape.
Yeah. Don't think too deeply about this. Don't worry. Non-digital. Anyway.
It's basically like what AI voice is doing.
Yeah.
except they're doing it with a cassette tape. Much.
Well, that's a neat trick.
A voice box, Mr. Bond. Science was never my strong suit, but the principle's easy enough. Someone's voice patterns and resonance stored in a small oral signature tape. A miniature transistorized version is installed in his neck. Or is it his neck? I never can remember. Anyway, no matter. We both sound alike.
What if, like, he goes to take the call and it's just like the TikTok, like, hello, it's Mr. White. Are you okay? You sound weird. I'm fine.
You see, like, Nixon using it, like, you shouldn't vote for JFK or something like that.
You shouldn't vote for the long dead JFK. He's dead.
Oh no, what am I talking about? It would be like Nixon saying, or it would be Nixon impersonating JFK saying, you should totally vote for Nixon.
He's doing a JFK deepfake. Yes. I guess that's what this is. It's just
before
defense.
I die, I would like to say Richard Nixon
is not a crook
president. not a crook.
Not a crook. I like him as a man. I like Nixon.
Now I am dying.
Anyway, at this point, Bond kills one of the Blofelds, who I guess was not the Alpha Blofeld, so it doesn't matter. Bond throws a cat, kicks a cat, does all kinds of mean things to the cat, who's just a cat. Come on, he didn't choose all this. And then,
he's an evil cat.
This is an evil cat. He chose to join Spectre. He knew what he did. So at this point,
I saw that cat on the golf course. He's in on it.
At this point, God, again, what? Oh, he gets knocked out in the elevator, and then Wint and Kid put him in like a weird pipe underground,
out in the desert,
and then he escapes via robot. Or something?
The robot thing I have questions about.
Like, what is this?
It's supposedly used to test the integrity of the pipe and make sure there's no blockages. But from what we see, it looks like its function is just to, like, a wacky inflatable arm man, like, you know, flither around with these electrical cords.
Yeah, it's just like throwing lasers around. Anyway, so then he gets out of the pipe because whatever. And then he's back with Felix and the whole gang. And then they arrange for, Blofeld to supposedly go to another location while impersonating, like, one of his men. Yeah.
Blofeld.
Oh, wow, Q, I can't believe you came out. You're finally, what does he say? It's just something shitty to Q.
Q says something like, oh, there's nothing to it. I used this to rig last year's election.
Oh, I use this to influence the public many times a year. So at this point, Blofeld's plan goes into action where they're going to hide out at their Baja California base. But then Tiffany gets abducted in the meantime. And then Bond goes to the place where they think, Blofeld is going to be, where there's two, uncredited women.
Well, I think that happens a little before. Like they storm Willer White's
like summer house or something. Or
I think that comes, they storm the top of the White House after they go to get Jimmy Dean, who we haven't mentioned. Jimmy Dean plays Willard
Wright. Mr. Jimmy Dean.
Is that Jimmy Dean, the breakfast sausage? Of
sausage.
He did other stuff too, but most of the sausage. And he's doing a full on like foghorn leghorn. Is that just what he sounded like?
What the hell is going on?
What the hell? And he's just like been in his house for the past few years. But so his two, I guess, acrobatic female bodyguards / girlfriends or whatever beat the shit out of Bond, and then they try to drown him. He tries to drown them.
They're
named Bambi and Thumper, which is a bit iffy.
Bond manages to defeat them by basically acting like an older brother and dunking
their heads.
Dunks their
heads. And they
heads.
Were like, yeah, we're two talented acrobats, but we can't swim. Much like Natalie Wood, they can't swim.
Oh God, more drowning in this.
That's like there's a lot of weird drowning elements in this movie.
And the old lady. We didn't mention the old lady drowning in the beginning
in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah,
between
another
that
cog in the smuggling wheel, the old lady, the teacher.
On your right, those beautiful old houses can be seen in the paintings of our famous painter Rembrandt. And now, ladies and gentlemen, if you will look to your left as we go down the Amster. You can see. Oh.
Between that, the deep fakes, and the fake moon landing, this movie's trying to tell us something.
I'm trying to figure out how Howard Hughes fits into it as well. Anyway.
I bet a conspiracy theory nut would like love this
honestly,
movie.
Honestly, yeah. Jimmy Dean, what did you know and when did you know it?
Jimmy Dean.
We got Jimmy Dean in on it, and he's just like, what? All this has been happening in my name? Who's been sending these plans to them? They're like, you did, sir.
You're the one who told us to build a space laser with stolen diamonds.
So that's what the diamonds have been for, to build a space laser. And then Blofeld uses it to blow up the nuclear bases.
Which I'm like kind of thinking like, good? He's blowing up the nuclear weapons
in
the China,
US,
the Soviet
China,
Union,
yes,
and America.
So he's like, hey, I mean,
that seems like a net positive.
Well, it's only going to stoke more Cold
he's
War
gonna
shit.
Blow up
so.
A city.
Yeah. So
okay,
then
well,
he,
that, now you've gone too far.
Then
Blofeld.
He gives, the ultimatum.
I was with you disarming the great states of nuclear powers.
But he gives them, all these world powers, the ultimatum of like, I'm going to keep blowing shit up with my diamond satellite lasers if you don't give me money. Is that what he wants? He always wants gold or
it's,
some
it's
shit.
Always a little bit unclear what he wants.
Yeah. I mean, yeah that we always talk about that. He just wants to stir shit up. And
he loves the drama.
He loves it. He loves impersonating Jimmy Dean and hanging out at a casino.
I think in the first few movies, his goal was just to extort a ton of money. And then in the last movie, it was like to have his name cleared, essentially, like freed of all crimes, past crimes or something.
And then
like
I guess
that.
He's like, no, I'm going to do more crimes.
Yeah, I'm going to do more crimes.
I'm okay with doing crimes.
I want to get off the terrorist watch list.
I would love to fly in an airplane
again.
It's
such a pain to fly these days.
When I fly commercial, as I always do.
For one thing, you've used the most unflattering picture of me on the FBI's most wanted.
Come on, I don't even look like that anymore.
That's my first demand.
I've had like 5 plastic surgeries since then.
I have submitted a more flattering photo.
This is my headshot. It's a 3/4.
I submitted the picture of him in the wig when he's going incognito.
Oh, it's like a rich old lady with her cat. That was a fun little moment. So then Bond figures out that he's Blofeld's hiding out at this oil platform in Baja California. I do like when he kind of says that line to Jimmy Dean, and he replies, Baja.
Baja. I haven't got anything at Baja.
It is fully foghorn leghorn, like
Baja.
But so we get there
in a bubble,
and they like Tiffany's sunbathing on like
well,
the
oil. Okay. Before we get to Tiffany sunbathing in the hole, you're showing more cheek than usual.
Oh, God.
Let's address the bubble. So Bond arrives at the oil
secret
rig.
They
drop him out of a plane in this bubble, and I'm thinking to myself, it's just like a big plastic bubble.
What
like,
if he just floated away?
How do they not unzip the bubble? And he's just like dead.
He's mush.
He has asphyxiated and died.
Yes.
He has concussed his head so hard.
Oh, no, James Bond actually died this time. Shit.
How crazy would that be? Blofeld's like, oh, well, this is unexpected.
Pretty convenient, actually. I had a whole thing prepared to deal with him, but all right.
The CIA delivered a dead Bond in a big bubble.
Actually, should I be working with the
just
CIA?
Dead Bond washing on shore of the oil.
Felix in the helicopter's like, oh my God, I'm so fucking fired. I'm so
and
fucking
to bring
fired.
It all back to drownings.
Christopher Walken's on the base.
Christopher Walken was actually cast in this, but then anyway. And again, the end, like we said, I don't think is very strong. We really just completely disregard any kind of characterization for Tiffany. It's pretty silly. We have to.
It's like she's
switch
a different
out.
Character.
Well, it gets into this whole thing of trying to switch out the tape that controls the satellite.
Yeah, where the real one looks like a cassette tape, but it has like the codes for the satellite, and Bond is trying to just switch it with like a regular cassette tape. And so there's this whole like Tiffany tries to seems like she's double crossing him, gives him the swaparoo tape. And then he manages to swap the real one with the fake one, and then he slips the real one the into tape, her like, bikini bottoms.
Yeah,
which also at this point she was in a bikini, and then like they were gonna go into the action room or whatever, and she's like, "Can I tag along, Ernst?" And he's like, "Maybe put something over your bathing suit," and she puts on a skimpy like. Yeah. Like crop top, no pants. So she's just walking around bikini bottoms and like half a shirt. Really great. Really, really awesome stuff. It wouldn't work if she was wearing pants. So he slips the tape back into her bikini bottom, and then she thinks she's supposed to swap them, and so she does, and she goes to him outside. She's like, "Don't worry, I did." And he's like, "You stupid fucking idiot woman. I was," and it's like, "Why? You are the ones writing her. Why did you decide?" Anyway.
"I did it. I switched the tape in the machine."
"You stupid twit, you put the real one back
in. Come on. Come on, let's go."
Ultimately, it doesn't really matter because, like, the CIA comes and bombs.
Yeah, then a shootout happens.
They come with a bunch of helicopters and blow up the base. And I guess Blofeld tried. Oh, we forgot to mention. There is a sign. I want to bring this up. There is a sign inside the control station of this base that says, "If in doubt, ask."
Hey, there's no stupid questions here.
But it's so goofy, like both as everything's going down, the CIA is missiling their, you know, shooting missiles at their compound. Blofeld gets into his little sub, and Bond manages to intercept the crane that has to put it into the ocean.
And he uses that as a wrecking ball.
Yeah, he uses the sub that Blofeld's in as a wrecking ball to destroy the base, and then he jumps off into the water, and that's it.
Again, so presumably Blofeld is dead again? Maybe? Maybe not?
Or at least severely concussed.
It's okay, yeah. He'll get some more plastic surgery. He'll get a new face and head. It's fine. New brain. It's fine. And then they won, I guess. So Bond and Tiffany.
And like any traditional Bond movie, we're out to sea for the end.
As always, this time we're on a proper.
An actual ship, not a, yeah. Not a inflatable
not a
ship.
And actually,
like
seafaring luxury vessel. So Bond and Tiffany are laying around and romantically, and then who else but our favorite little freaks?
"Dr. Tynan, good evening."
"Who are you? And where's Joe?"
"Joe couldn't make it tonight. I'm Mr. Wint. This is Mr. Kidd."
"Oh, I see.
Crispin Glover's dad.
And I just want to say the name of the other actor is Putter Smith.
That sounds about right.
Who was an American jazz bassist, music teacher, author, and actor.
Really?
Good for him. Love that weird guy. Anyway, so they come in with like a, you know, an elaborate, you know, tray, spread of food and, you know, we didn't order this. Well, it's, you know, compliments of blah, blah, blah. We have this and this. And then a fake cake with a bomb in it.
A bomb surprise.
Which is so fucking campy. It's so like Scooby-Doo ass shit that I can't help but love it.
And like I said, it gets back to Batman 66, and as yes! like it, you can tell they're on a set. I mean, oftentimes, you know, you can tell this in movies, like clearly they're on a set, but in this scene, they are clearly on a set.
Yeah, it's but so they are trying to bomb surprise Bond and Tiffany.
This quote-unquote action scene unfolds. Basically, like, Bond recognizes he smells the Old Spice or whatever it is.
Smells that Old Spice.
Mr. Wish loves to spray on himself.
Not very sneaky of you, dude.
Not very sneaky, no. He's like, I've smelled this before. You guys tried to kill me.
I'll be the judge of that. That's rather potent. Not the cork, your aftershave. Strong enough to bury anything. But the wine is quite excellent. Although for such a grand meal, I had rather expected a claret.
Of course. Unfortunately, our cellar is rather poorly stocked with clarets.
Mouton Rothschild is a claret. And I've smelt that aftershave before, and both times I've smelt a rat.
It always smells like a rat.
And I love that they don't try to pull out a gun and shoot him or anything. That would be too simple.
No. Mr. Why would we have guns?
Mr. Kid takes like these kebabs, lights them on fire, and slowly like puts like reaches towards
He's
Bond,
just
I guess,
holding
to stab
two
him?
Flaming kebabs and be like, all right. And it's like the other guy's like choking him with like a really the long chain that he
You're
came
choking
in
him,
wearing.
I'll stab him with the flaming kebab.
This'll work. And of course they have, you know, Tiffany run off to the side and be like, wow.
Yeah, she's there just to go,
which is like always so annoying in movies where, I don't know. Anyway, but then so Bond like throws some wine on the flaming kebabs. Both of Kid's arms go
fire.
Up in flames. He catches on fire and then falls over the side of the ship, presumably dead. And then Bond, what is he does like a ball busting thing on?
He does like a he like rolls him over. He like flips Mr. Wint over
and like shoves the bomb up his ass or some shit.
Well, he like gets Mr. Wint's arm and like pulls it through his legs and then ties the bomb to his I don't know his cufflinks
his,
or something.
Sure,
his coattails.
And then he flips,
and then
him,
flips
around.
Him over
overboard and blows up. It is definitely like the stupidest Bond ending I think we've seen, but it was stupid fun, so I liked that.
Well, that's what I was gonna ask you guys. So I guess I mentioned at the beginning I had a confession. I knew this episode. This was not the first time I watched this movie within the last month. This is the second time I watched this movie.
So this is your favorite
month.
Bond movie. You can tell us.
I don't know why. Like I knew this episode was coming up that we were going to record, and I watched it like a few weeks earlier just because. Like I wasn't even taking notes on this first viewing. I was just watching it.
You're like, diamonds are forever.
Well, it's just I would say this is a fun Bond movie to watch while inebriated.
You know? Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Like it's a goofy movie. It's fairly breezy, even if it, in the middle it kind of loses it a little
even
bit.
Even
like
when I'm like confused what was going on, I wasn't like hating it or anything.
Yeah. Well, because it's so overtly goofy. Like you can't help but kind of laugh at it.
Oh yeah. You definitely laugh at it.
But this gets into what I was saying, like kind of getting at before. Like I watched this two times, so you guys watched this once. Now that it's over, what's kind of your take on this movie? Did you like it? Did you hate it?
I did like it. I don't think it was like a great cinema or anything like that, but it was. I liked it
it's
more
no
than
no Easy Rider.
I was no. I mean, I was expecting it to be a little bit like embarrassing or like cringe, but I mean, well, parts of it were, but the same parts that always are in a Bond movie. but it like. It was better than I expected. I kind of liked it. Like, for me, this is like,
A return to form.
This is, it's above, I mean, I know this is like sacrilege because I know people like this movie, but I still think this is above like what I would put at the bottom of the series, which would be From Russia with Love, or maybe this is certainly, I think, above You Only Live Twice. But
what the, I just got a ton of notifications on my phone, hate mail for Mike.
Like, yeah, ooh. I know. From Russia with Love is boring. I'm sorry, people.
Wait, this hate mail says blow up your pants?
but yeah, it's not quite as good as like Goldfinger, which it's trying to be, or Honor Majesty's Secret Service, or even for me, the innocence of Dr. No. So it'd be under those, but above, it's kind of middle of the pack, I guess. It would be like above, it'd probably be like where Thunderball is around there.
This
for me.
Is, yeah. I mean, I feel like this movie is kind of the epitome of dumb fun.
Yeah. It's, you know, I did have fun with it, and part of it was me just going, looking at various Chattopedias of the Wood Sisters, but no, I had fun.
Yeah.
I had fun.
It's worth noting, like, this movie does warrant a deep dive if you want to get into the more seedy history going on here.
You want to talk Hollywood sins and et cetera? There's...
What did Jimmy Dean know and when did he know it?
Hey! What are those sausages made of, Jimmy?
What are the sausages made of?
God damn it, Jimmy.
I, you know, to say this, I really do enjoy Jimmy Dean's breakfast bowls. To go on record, I will say that I greatly enjoy those breakfast
look,
bowls.
Look, the man really has good breakfast bowls.
Proud sponsor of Apocalypse
all
Video.
All I'm saying is I may or may not, I may be complicit with the goings on.
You in the pocket of Big Jimmy.
I'm in the pocket of Big Sausage.
Big Sausage. God. Yeah, it's, well, it's there. You just have to look for it.
I think, you know, honestly, I think it's probably, I'm wondering if you guys would have felt a little differently or felt a little more harsh on this movie if we had watched this a lot sooner after having watched Honor Majesty's Secret Service, because we're like a couple months after having watched that. So I wonder if it would have been a bit more of a speed bump to kind of see this movie after just having seen what, again, what we regarded as the high point of the Bond series up to this point.
I think that may be true because, you know, as we said, there's some stark differences in
it's
the two.
It's a whiplash effect, for sure.
But, you know, I don't mind it. It's, I think I would ultimately like recommend this one because it is just so goofy. There's a lot to have fun with, and if nothing else, I want more people to know about Mr. Wint and Mr. Kids.
Yeah,
we have got to have more weird duos like that.
And
back
I think
in
there's
movies.
A little bit of foreshadowing to Moonraker with the space stuff.
Mm-hmm. Moonraker,
the best Bond movie.
Yeah, now that we're getting closer and closer to number one.
It's all leading up to this.
Well, yeah, and we're leading into a new Bond when we return.
I'm excited to see the start of, to see non-decrepit more.
Yeah, I feel bad that I'm only picturing him as just much older and wearing like the widest, most 70s pants like imaginable. And I don't think they start there, do they? We're still early 70s.
When we come back, it will be with 1973's Live and Let Die with a very spry 46-year-old Roger Moore debuting in the role.
They said, after Lazenby, we are not dealing with any more young guys.
So 6 years older than Sean Connery was in this movie.
I think he was 46. He was either 45 or 46. I can't
and this
remember
is the
exactly.
start of his term as Bond.
The start, yes. And before we leave, it should be noted that Moore was also considered for this movie.
But they were
well.
Like, no, he needs more time in the oven. Get that bun
Roger
nice
Moore
and toasty.
I feel like Roger Moore has been like the white whale for casting for Bond. Like, I feel like every movie we talk about, it's like, ooh, they wanted more. Yeah,
from the beginning, his name was in consideration for Dr. No.
Well, he's finally up at bat now. Let's see how he does it.
Come on, Raj.
The trailer for Live and Let Die literally has how does it go? It goes, it's something like more action, more this, more, Roger Moore.
Roger Moore.
So
I can't wait.
Incredible.
It should be noted, like, Roger Moore was kind of a favorite of mine as a kid, because when I started watching Bond, it was in that six-year period when there was no Bond. It was before Pierce Brosnan came on board, so I was kind of, like, watching Bond just as an entity, not as a singular actor as Bond. So I didn't really have a frame of reference for who should be Bond. I was just sort of like, yeah, James Bond's a character. It doesn't really matter who plays him. As a kid, that was my mindset. So I didn't have any biases towards Connery or Moore. So I just kind of accepted it as Bond. So, but I really enjoyed the Moore movies growing up, and I'm really excited to get into them. And you guys, so clearly you guys have seen Moonraker, but have you seen any of the other Moore?
That's the only one.
Yeah, I don't think I have.
Oh, this is going to be so much fun. When the Bondcast returns, when the Apocalypse of Bondcast returns, we'll have Moore. Roger Moore. With Live and Let Die.
One win! She only had one win!
Fred.
You're supposed to have 24 to win that dog!
Will you give her the rest, kid? Huh?
All right, boys and girls, here we go, everybody. Come on, now.